Let me ask you then to turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 25. 2 Kings, chapter 25. Beginning with the first word in the first verse. So in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem and his whole army. He encamped outside the city and built siege works all around it. The city was kept under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine in the city had become so severe that there was no food for the people to eat. Verse 4. Then the city wall was broken through, and the whole army fled at night through the gate between the two walls near the king's garden, though the Babylonians were surrounding the city. They fled toward Abega, but the Babylonian army pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. And all of his soldiers were separated from him and scattered, and he was captured. He was taken by the king of Babylon to Riblah, where sentence was pronounced on him. Verse 7. They killed the sons of Zebekiah before his eyes. Then they put out his eyes. They bound him with shackles, and they took him to Babylon. Zedekiah became the king of the southern kingdom of Judah when he was 21 years of age. Zedekiah died at the age of 32. He died wicked, and he died a failure. In the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign in the city of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and the entire Babylonian army surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and they closed up that city. That means that no one was able to enter the city. No one was able to leave the city. They took siege of the city, and they just sat there for 18 months. The best way to win a war has always been to cut off the supplies of the enemy. Water, food, everything. Cut it off and then just wait. After 18 months, verse 3 tells us that the famine in the city of Jerusalem was so bad that there was no food in the city. So here is a city that's filled with people, and there's no food in that city. Finally, after 18 months, there is a breach in the wall around the city of Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the Bible describes what happens then. The Babylonian army enters, and they kill the young men in the temple. The Bible says that they had no compassion on the young women or on the aged. They went into the temple of God, and they took those sacred vessels out of the temple of God. They then burned the temple of God in the city of Jerusalem to the ground. They then went throughout the city and they burned the palaces that were erected in the city of Jerusalem. They then destroyed the walls that protected the city of Jerusalem. They then took the rest of the people and the nation and they carried those people over into captivity. The prophet Jeremiah was an eyewitness to the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah's book, in the Old Testament, the book of Lamentation, Jeremiah describes this. Lamentations is a funeral dirge. A funeral dirge is when someone died, the mourners would come and they would sing in order to honor the deceased. But the book of Lamentations is not a dirge for an individual who died. The book of Lamentations is a funeral dirge for a city, the city of Jerusalem. And in that book of Lamentation, Jeremiah talks about what he eyewitnessed in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Finally, Zedekiah the king tries to escape the city, but he is captured on the plains of Jericho. Zedekiah the king is captured, and then there is a threefold sentence pronounced on him in verse number 7. Number 1, they killed Zedekiah's sons before his eyes. How old could those boys have possibly been? Zedekiah dies later on at 32. How old were these boys? 8? 10? 12? They killed them before Zedekiah's eyes. The second thing that happens is that they then sear out the eyes of Zedekiah, so that the last sight that Zedekiah ever saw in this world was the murder of his sons. And finally, thirdly, they put King Zedekiah in chains and carried him off into captivity into faraway Babylon. Now here's the question. Why? What in the world could a person possibly do to bring this much judgment upon himself? What is going on? What could he possibly have done that would bring all of this and heap all of this on him and the city of Jerusalem? Listen to me. 2 Kings chapter 25 tells us what happens, but it doesn't tell us why it happens. In order to understand why this happened, we have to go up a few verses toward the latter part of 2 Kings chapter 24. And part of the reason why this judgment was laid down is found in 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 19. It is said about King Zedekiah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What? What did he do? He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Brethren, listen to me carefully here. your decision. Your decision to either live or not live the way God wants you to live is a much more serious decision than any of us imagine. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Briefly this morning, two observations. Number one, your decision to either live as God wants you to live or not to live as God wants you to live. Your decision affects others. Zedekiah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and now his sons are dead. Zedekiah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and now he's blind. Zedekiah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and now Jerusalem has been destroyed. Zedekiah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and now the temple has been burned down. Zedekiah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and now the wall of protection around the city of Jerusalem lies in a heap of rubble. Listen, Zedekiah did what was wrong in the sight of the Lord, and now untold thousands of people are dead, and untold thousands are being carried off into captivity. Your decision to either live or not to live as God wants you to live is a decision that will affect others. Now, our influence, your influence and my influence, will not cause a nation to crumble. And our influence will not cause a nation to go into captivity. But you hear this well. There is no life that is so obscure that it doesn't affect the life of somebody else somewhere. The mere fact that you exist, you are either leading people toward Jesus or you are pushing them further away. In Romans, the 14th chapter, and in the 7th verse, the Apostle Paul said that no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. What does that mean? What that means is that somebody somewhere is watching you. Your decision. And that's what it is. It's your decision. To either live for God or not to live for God. That's your decision. But whatever that decision is of yours, it will affect others. And as is always the case, the ones that we influence are the ones that are closest to us. So our unfaithfulness and our indifference is setting an example for unfaithfulness and for indifference in the lives of those who follow us. Every time our children and every time our grandchildren see us put the world in front of God, we are teaching them a visual example, a visual lesson that they're not going to soon forget. And here's tragedy. Zedekiah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, but it wasn't just about him. And it isn't just about us. Well, what about what I want? Well, what about what happens to everybody around you then? That one decision, I'm going to live for God or I'm not going to live for God, that one decision will affect other people. And that one decision will affect mostly those who are closest to you. And when you decide to spiritually lose your mind, you better look around. Your decision will affect others. Observation number two. Your decision to live or not to live for God. Remember this. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse number 7, Paul said, don't be deceived. And that's what we do. We deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves till we believe the lie. God is not mocked. You're not going to make a fool of God. And whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Zedekiah, face the consequences of his sin. And so will you and I. This is called retribution. Now, retribution does not come to everybody like it came to Zedekiah, just bang, all at once. But don't you ever think to yourself, and don't you ever make yourself believe that because sin doesn't pay every Saturday night, that sin is not going to pay. Justice delayed is not justice forgotten. Listen, ask the people of Noah's day if you reap what you sow. The Bible says that their every thought in their mind and their imagination was only evil. Then the door of that ark was shut and it started to rain. Ask them, do you reap what you sow? Ask the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, do you reap what you sow? Ask Judas Iscariot if you reap what you sow. Ask Herod in Acts 12, who came out and took glory that belonged to God. And the Bible says there was a big pain in his stomach, and the worms eat him from the inside out. Ask Ananias and Sapphira if you reap what you sow. Yes, sir. You can't change the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is that number one, you reap what you sow. Number two, you reap later than you sow. And number three, you will reap more than what you sow. So here's the tragedy. While many folk play games with God, their influence is destroying other people. Listen, nobody can take your place. Don't we get that yet? Nobody can take your place. What the world needs are Christians who are serious about living their lives for God. And nobody can do that for you other than you. Nobody. Look, it's not a matter of if our lives are going to have an impact on others. That's not it. What is it is what kind of impact is our life going to have on others? This is the way I look at it. At some point, when a Christian lays down and closes their eyes in death, when we open our eyes, we will see Jesus. And when we open our eyes and see Jesus, we will never close our eyes again. But you gotta be serious about living for God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God isn't gonna play second fiddle to anybody. And God's not getting on the back burner for any of us. God has first place, or God has no place at all in our lives. So this morning, on this warm, sunny day, I call us to holiness. I call us to examine our lives and to be serious about living for God. Because when this life is over, wherever you go, you're going to take somebody with you. You're going to take somebody with you. Do right. Live right. Enjoy life. Jesus came to give us life abundantly. You can go to heaven and enjoy the trip, but not if you're in cahoots with the devil half your life. Seriousness about living for God. If you're away from God, and you don't need to for me to stand here and tell you whether or not you're away from him. If you're away from God, come back. Because the decision that you make right here will not only affect you, it will affect others, and it could affect others for generations to come in your family. If you need to respond, do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.